Huh. Been a while since I've checked in on this.
Welcome everyone.
Oh shit.
To another edition of hashtag Team GFP Radio. My name is Dave Lang. Immediately to my left, in the middle of his very own production meeting, is my good friend and confidant Daryl Wisner. Daryl, how the hell are you doing?
I don't know anymore.
It's been a rough day for you.
It's not my finest. It's not my finest, yeah.
Yeah, you've been angrier than I've seen in a long time.
No, I haven't been angry.
Well, let's say snappy. Twitchy?
Yeah.
Not more so than normal, just the regular level of caffeine here and there.
Yeah.
Now you know it's a little spoiler where we're going to talk about the next two shows, everyone.
Well,
heard
we?
First.
Oh, man, what did I say? I
just like
know.
That. I know. I wrote it down. So I'm paying attention to the production.
The worst.
So first of all, I want to set the record straight for the fine listeners of Team GFB Radio. I may have called Daryl Swamp Hands in the last episode. I may have taken some issue with his propensity to sweat. And
take
I,
an issue with
well,
it.
You know, I made an issue out of it. Let's say that. And I think, based on the sheer volume of feedback we received on Twitter and email, this is a hot-button issue for the people.
Yeah, I'm not alone.
There's a lot of people out there who basically struggle with this every day.
It's a struggle, Dave.
And it's been enlightening to me to see that, wow, this is actually a very normal, common problem, and I'm even bigger an asshole than I thought I was for making fun of it in the first place.
Sure.
So I want to apologize to you, Daryl, and to everyone out there with hyperhidrosis. Here's what I promised you right now, you and everyone in the whole world.
Yeah.
Look at me.
No.
Look at me. I'm never going to call you Swamp Hands again.
That's not true.
I promise.
That is not true.
I promise.
It's not true. You will probably call me that before the end of this episode.
I hope not. That'd be going back in my word, really, in record order. So that happened. I was an asshole and I apologized. Just like that.
Look at that.
Things happen.
It's on record.
So, Daryl, it's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
Has it really?
Yes, it's been at least 2 weeks, right? Maybe three?
No.
2 weeks.
No.
Yeah, we took last week off. Yeah, we recorded two shows.
That's right, yeah. Logistics got in the way, it just didn't work out,
But this is the weird thing about podcasting that I don't understand. Original thought for last recording session for everyone at home cares about podcast production.
Right.
We're going to give you it's the GFP Podcast Production Minute!
Yeah.
We were going to record three shows 2 weeks ago. We were going to record the Dampa Weekend, which we did. GDC, which we did, featuring hashtag Pitch Couch.
Yep.
We're also going to record PAX, because it's like, hey, it's fresh in our minds.
Yeah, we just got back from it.
Let's bang it out. But for reasons I can't explain, it's really hard to talk about the things for 2 hours straight. Let alone 4. Yeah. I did, like, I didn't that. We did those 2 and I'm like, done. You could hear it in the podcast too. And I was editing them.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers is soft.
See, record this at the end of the workday. And it's just kind of.
So it's already. Late. We're already had enough.
I think we found that, you know, 2 hours is our limit for sure.
So that leaves us with an interesting conundrum. Because we've got. In the next 2 weeks, we have to record 3 shows due to travel schedules and some Sherlock episode 5 and 6.
We really gotta knock those out.
It's shameful that we haven't done it
yet. Yeah, it is.
Imagine the people out there, the 3 people out there, just waiting, waiting on us to drop those hot eps.
It'll come.
One day or another.
So, yes, sometime this year.
And then let us never speak of it again. Of GFP Book Club. Let us never speak of it again. So Daryl,
yeah,
let's give the people what they want.
Yeah,
let's talk about PAX.
Okay.
In all its glory. So PAX East.
Well, so we left off last time we talked about GDC.
I landed in Boston.
Oh no, there was one thing we forgot to talk about last with GDC.
Oh yeah, friend of the show,
yeah,
Keir.
Friend of the show, Keir.
Our friend of the show, Keir. So
that's
I'm going to give him a special shout out. I believe I talked about this, the Indie Soapbox talk, right?
That was yeah.
And that's what to do with the bike and all that shenanigans. So, it's like notoriously difficult to get into. There's like a line around the corner. Did I talk about how I got into that at all?
I just big-timed my way in.
And so, it turned out I didn't have to do that because Keir, I was texting with Keir ahead of time.
Yeah.
And Keir went total stealth mode. He went to the talk in the same room as that talk, the one before it. And they didn't leave in between talks. And he posted up and saved me a seat.
KG.
So shout outs to Keir for saving me a seat for the soapbox.
Oh, traffic.
I don't know where I would have stood otherwise. So thank you, Keir. Shout outs. And that was, I didn't see him again at GDC, which was kind of a bummer. But, you know.
Yeah, you wanted to get an interview with him.
I wanted to interview him. But, you know, GDC scheduled, busy as they are, did not necessarily allow for it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll make it up over Skype. We'll get Keir in here talking about Darkest Dungeon. It sounded like the game's doing amazingly well.
That's great.
I'm talking to him.
That's awesome.
So, I'd love to hear about his, you know, early access experiences on Steam.
Yeah.
What made him go early access. So, Keir, get ready. We're going to hook that up. We'll hit you up soon. So, shout outs. We actually left the last episode Friday night with me touching down in Boston, but we want to begin this episode. We want to wind back time like a true artiste.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk about your Thursday.
My Thursday.
While I was off gallivanting and doing hashtag pitch couch, you were busy in Boston.
That's right, we did go. Yeah, we got into Thursday, didn't we? We ended up flying in. Me and Jeff Gamble flew in Thursday morning. Met up with Joe Bailey. Isaac was there ahead of time. He was like a pro and actually went the night before, but no one else.
I was going the night before.
It was smart, but I don't know. It worked out. Yeah, because I wasn't sure how that was going to be, flying the same morning and doing setup on the same day. But
It's not a fatigue concern for me. It's just a what if the flight gets canceled concern. So let's reset the whole scene here, dude. So
sure.
PAX East, we had a booth. We did a 20 by 20 booth this year. Is that right? 20 by 20?
Yes.
And since I'm there for setup and all that, but since I was at GDC, we had to get a ragtag crew of miscreants to do it.
Oh boy.
So Daryl and Jeff, as you mentioned, Alex Jabali, our PR guy, and Isaac Torres from Quality Assurance Department.
Yes.
And also some other people we had, like some of the indies showed up too, right?
Yep.
So, this is what we call setup day.
Yes.
Right? And so we have my brother-in-law loads up the truck in Chicago with all our gear. So we talked about this briefly before, but we kind of do PAX East as cheaply as possible with actually having a booth. Like,
yeah.
We don't want just the folding chairs and desks thing.
Right.
So we made our kiosks, we made all the furniture, we made it really easy to take off, quote-unquote really easy to tear down and take up. So basically all we have to do is, get my brother-in-law to haul it to wherever we're going.
Right.
Right?
Let's not kid ourselves. When you say we made it, Jeff made it.
Jeff made it, and yeah. I watched closely.
Right.
I bet you Jeff would say I was not net negative in the proceedings, but yeah, it was mostly Jeff.
Yeah, it was mostly cracking jokes the whole time.
That stuff held up remarkably well.
Yeah.
This stuff's built to last. Shout out to Gavin.
Yep.
So, brother-in-law usually rolls into town Wednesday night, and then the goal is, okay, noon on setup day, he's going to meet us at the convention hall. So, yep. Set the scene. So, what's that like?
Well, even before that, so you had a meeting with me and Jeff. So this was my first PAX. So I've actually never been in a booth setup before.
Man, Jeff had been to one. Jeff was the
Jeff
very first
one. And Jeff's built the booth, so he kind of knows how it all gets put together and all that sort of stuff. So you pulled us aside and did a meeting and gave us, like, a little rundown. Like, here's the ins and outs. Here's who you got to know. Here's who you got to talk to. If anything goes sideways, blah, blah, blah. Trying to give us a quick brain dump.
Yeah, because, like, if you just read the rules of that the union people and the Freeman people and the PAX people give you on setting your booth, it sounds like impossible you could do your own, right? And if you go by the letter of the law, it's strictly speaking true, but there's a bunch of stuff that kind of don't really enforce or don't get super upset about unless you're just a total D-bag. So it's kind of like we figured out all those little kind of like variances over the course of many, many shows, and now we kind of take it for granted. But since like no one we had to show knew those, it's like, okay, here's like, you know, when the truck comes and they don't let you in, go to the dock foreman. Tell the dock foreman you just need 20 minutes to unload or whatever. It's fine, just all that jazz, right?
Sure.
So I'll say we have a bunch of weird rules too, like you're not supposed to use a dolly with an upright dolly. You can only use a flat dolly with four wheels. You can't use a two-wheel dolly. It's all these weird rules. And I guess they're engineered to make you want to use the union people.
Right.
Which makes sense, right? They want the business. They want the money.
Yep.
But that doesn't stop us, Daryl.
No, apparently it does not.
So what time did you guys get to the show?
We got there, I don't remember exactly. We were aiming to get there around noon. I want to say we probably ended up getting there between much on time. We were making really good time. But yeah, when we got there, I really didn't know what to expect. Again, because this was my first PAX, this was my first show getting set up, so I was walking in blind. And so we had, you know, we had your brother-in-law's number to try to meet us there, but we're trying to figure out, you know, when do we actually roll in, because we know we're due time constraints, like how do we figure this stuff out? And so we ended up going to the show floor and figuring out where to pick up our passes, and that all seemed to go well. It's like, all right, well, let's get inside first, and let's just assess the situation before we call in Mitch.
Smart.
You know, to try and figure, because I don't even know where he goes. I don't know where we meet him yet. I have no idea, right? So let's get the lay of the land and figure this out. And then we can kind of figure out where Mitch is, because no one's heard from Mitch at this point, so we're not even sure if he's in Boston yet or not.
Classic Mitch.
Right. So we're just like, okay, let's figure out what's going on. So we walk in. We find out where the booth is, more so through trial and error. And we get to the booth, and there is a chair and just rolled-up carpet.
I've never seen that. I think there's always been at least carpet rolled out. One time, like, the internet wasn't working, but, like, I've never seen it where there was just no carpet.
Yeah, there was an extension cord coming out. So, and you're looking all around the other booths, and there's carpet laid down, and there's at least, like a curtain backdrop or something like that. It's just like a bare booth space. But this was just empty concrete floor with a number written in chalk and a chair and some rolled up carpet. And the carpet was not the right size either. It was much smaller. It was like,
I wonder if that's why they never rolled it. They got it there and figured it's the wrong thing or something.
I have no idea. So we're like, huh. Okay. Well, clearly can't even start unloading right now.
So could you scout it ahead?
So that's okay. What do we do now? That's interesting.
I know what I would do now.
What would you do?
I would get an enforcer.
Our enforcer was not there yet.
Okay.
At the time.
Of course.
There was no enforcers there at the time. So we ended up going up to the Freeman guys and just telling them, like, hey, we got a booth thing over here. It's not unloaded. And he's like, oh, no, you got to go all the way down here and go talk to that person.
Classic Freeman move.
Okay.
Yeah, all classic. Right.
Cool, can do. And, so we walked all the way down and explained the situation. Like, we're supposed to have power here and a carpet and all this other stuff. None of it's set up yet. And we were just like, oh, okay. So they got it all through. And we told them, like, we need carpet laid down.
All right.
Shoot, match, shoot, bang. Like, okay, well, we'll get someone on it. It's like,
yeah, no ETA, no.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, the next thing in my mind is, like, okay, I need to get Mitch here so we can unload the truck. So it's like, okay, do we have any idea? Like, is it going to be an hour, 2 hours, like, 6 o'clock? Like,
yeah.
Any idea, right? So I can start getting stuff going. I'm just like, well, they're on lunch now, so maybe 2 hours?
Sure.
Three?
Yeah.
I'm like, awesome. Okay, well, All right. Well, thanks for your time. All right. Appreciate it. We'll check back.
That's super confidence inspiring.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on it. And so at that point, we decided, you know what, screw it. We'll call in Mitch, because there was a lot of room around the booth that we can kind of just stash the stuff. Like,
right.
We'll get Mitch here. We'll just get the thing unloaded as quickly as possible, and we'll just kind of put everything around the edge of the booth. And then once they load their carpet, we'll just put everything under the carpet. We'll be good to go.
So it was like the border was taped off on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was. So we're like, at least we can get the ball rolling. We're not just
How'd you find the... Because the way I know I'm 100% in the right spot is on, like, the back curtain thing they hang the company name.
It was just written in chalk on the cement.
Okay.
Yeah, the number. So, well, I hope so. That's where we end up putting the booth.
It was a good location.
It was a great location. Yeah. So that's what we did. Finally got in touch with Mitch. I think I woke up Mitch when I called him.
Classic Mitch.
He ended up meeting us there, and then we had the four of us. We were just banging, just getting everything off the truck, and Camp knew, you know, the pieces had to go together with what, and we just wrote it all in, and then it just kind of worked out. Once we got all the pieces in, then the guys were coming along, and the Freeman guys were helping us out, like, hey, you guys supposed to have carpet here, or whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah. But the thing is that, because we had to run electrical.
Yeah.
Right? So, I wasn't sure, like, how much of this is hands-on, hands-off, like, what's your domain versus my domain, and
yes.
How do we do this dance,
and
right?
The thing with the union guys is they can be, for reasons we've already kind of enumerated, they can be very protective of their turf.
Right.
Right, like, if you even, they can't do something they're supposed to do that they should get paid for, like, some of them take really great offense to that,
right,
and escalate it quickly.
Right. So he was just like, well, he's like, if you guys have electrical that's going on here, that's all fine and good. He's like, why don't you just lay it out where you guys want it, right? And
take
it from there. So we just kind of laid out their extension cords to where we're going to put it. And he was just trying to think, he's like, okay, what are you going to have hooked up here? And trying to figure out the circuit layout, like, what would be the circuit load for each of the jumps and all that stuff. And we're like, oh, it's just some video game consoles and a TV.
Yeah.
Oh, just TVs? Fine. And he was helping us configure that. And then, he was awesome. And then we taped it all down, and they got the carpets done, and cut the holes, pop the electrical up. And after that, we were a business, man. It was smooth sailing. We were just putting all the rest together, and it came together quite nicely, I would say.
How long did it take you total?
It was a few hours.
Usually, I think setup's usually about 4.
I would say that was about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, at the end of it, were you like done at the very end of it? Or were you still like hissing?
No.
Yeah,
I wasn't too bad.
Yeah, because for some reason at the end of it, I'm always like, there's always like one thing I realize, oh, we forgot to do thing X. But then it's always like, I'm really tired of working on
done
this.
Done that way. No, yeah, we were all set up and ready to go.
Yeah.
We set up all the consoles and get everything tested and did a dry run of all that stuff.
Like a pro.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
of course. Come on.
So, probably about this time is when I land and start texting you.
No.
Right? Not yet? Or would
you didn't land until the next day.
Oh, yeah, next day. Friday, duh. Yeah, totally off base.
Yeah.
Come on, Lang, get your story straight.
Jeez Louise.
So, what'd you do Thursday night?
This guy. Oh, man, what did we do? Oh, we, Jabali took us out to Blue Dragon.
Oh, that's that fusion place,
yeah.
Right? So, Adam Hart and Jabali talk about this place. Like, it's this restaurant that's relatively close to the Denver Center.
Yeah.
And they basically say it's the best food of all time. And there's not two people in the world I trust their opinion less about food than Adam Hart and Alex Jabali.
Yeah.
So, I need an impartial review.
It was probably the best meal I had out there.
Really?
It's not saying much.
Still, though.
It definitely was... Besides the cheese sticks at the convention center, yeah, it was the best meal I had.
I'd like to remind everyone, Daryl's vegetarian. Yeah. What'd you get?
Oh, man, I forgot about the horrible food out there, yeah. What did I get? It was a noodle dish, and I don't remember the name of it now. It was a stir-fry and a wide noodle.
Gotcha.
Asian bowl.
Is it like a group thing where everyone gets a little bit of something and you split it, or is
they,
it like...
They do. They can kind of go either way. But, yeah, for the most part, it's just, you know...
I've heard about they talk about this place all the time, but I've never actually seen it. Where is it in relation to the convention center? Is it like you cross over the river thingy?
Yes. So when you cross over the river...
I guess it's not a river. I guess it's just a road or... Some overpass, right?
It's that overpass. There's actually a stairway that goes down. You go down those stairs.
Okay.
And it's up and around the corner right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go down the stairs by the overpass.
Yeah.
And then you go to Stabby McStabberland.
Yes. Yes.
And then it's down there somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess that explains why it's always open, because no one knows it's down there.
It's like that thing off the path.
6 o'clock at PAX, it's usually impossible to find a place to eat. Right, it's really, really hard, because like a billion people just...
Well, the thing is this was setup day. Day before PAX, right? So that's why we decided to go, because, you know, Alex was saying the whole time, like, we got to go to Blue Dragon, it's like, tonight's the night.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way we're going to be able to get in the day of the convention, the convention's actually going on. So, yeah, we went in there, it was a little bit of a wait, but it was there. I guess the owner of that place is, I guess he's somewhat famous, perhaps? I don't know.
What makes you say that?
Well... So when we were sitting there waiting for our table, someone else came in behind us, and I was just kind of standing there watching, and this guy, he was freaking out. He was just kind of like, oh my God. He was like pulling over to the woman next to him. He's like, there, that's the damn thing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like totally saw like a celebrity type of thing.
Okay.
He's like, that's him, it's him. And he pointed to him, and he heard him say, that's Ming, that's the owner, it's Ming.
Huh.
And then I look at this guy, this Asian man, he's like scurrying around, he's like waiting for an Uber or something, like going back and forth or whatever. And he kind of had like some handlers with him and stuff, and pushing through. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I'm looking over at the hostess area, and I look over above, and they have like a shelf, and there's a cookbook with him on it.
Oh, okay,
right. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
So some kind of famous celebrity chef or whatever.
Famous celebrity chef owns the place or whatever. Or at least he was a celebrity to that individual coming in. He was very excited too.
Well, that guy's got handlers and books. I mean, at some level, that's celebrity.
Yeah.
At some level.
Yeah. So everyone very much enjoyed their food there. But the big thing was the dessert, which was the cookie.
What's the cookie?
That's what we were told.
Tell me about the cookie.
So it is a chocolate chip cookie inside of an iron skillet.
Okay.
It's cooked inside of a... like a personal size.
Sure.
Think of it as like a Pizza Hut personal pan pizza size, right? And so it's an iron skillet. It comes with the cookie, and I don't remember what was drizzled, because we got two different ones. We got one that was a half cookie, half brownie.
Oh, okay.
On there, too. And I want to say there was probably caramel and other things drizzled on there as well. And you just cut it up and eat it, and it's ooey gooey and good.
Good stuff?
Yeah. It's quite good.
You guys do anything after that, or just shut it down?
We did shut it down after that. We just walked back to the hotel and called it a night because we knew we needed some rest.
Yeah, because you had to be there the first day is when press show up at 9, right? So you had to be there even earlier.
Yeah, we wanted to get there super early too, because we didn't meet up with everyone who was working the booth yet, because we had a lot of volunteers at that point. So we still, and it was people I've never met before. All I have is an email for these people, right? And so now we have all of their badges, and they were going to meet us there, and we had to coordinate all this sort of stuff. So I was like, all right, I need to make sure we get there super early, because I don't know everyone's travel schedule exactly, and I don't want them just waiting out in the cold or whatever, right? So, yeah, so we got there super early and got all the badge situation at will call and got that going.
Cool.
Took a little extra time just to get all the consoles set up and get everything going.
And Friday of the show, anything interesting happened during the show proper?
Well, like you mentioned before, our booth location actually turned out to be really cool.
Yeah, like I thought it sucked when I was looking at the map. I was actually begging them to move us.
Really?
Because I thought it was so horrible.
Yeah.
I'm glad they've talked me out of that.
I guess why did you think it was so bad?
Well, I thought it was stuck in the back, which it was, but it was on the high traffic corridor, and there's a lot of reason to go to the back.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't really quite grasp, right?
Yeah, it was interesting because, as it turns out, we were actually right next to the entrance of the show.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize this. We didn't realize this at
site. Where all the people are queued up to get in.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you walk into the convention center, yes, we were in the back relative to the entrance of the convention center, right? But we didn't realize that they were going to snake everyone around all the way through into the big open area in front of the stage and queue everyone up there. And then we slowly realized, like, you know, Friday morning, like, everyone's just filling up, and you can feel it, right?
Yeah.
You're like, wait a second, we are right at the start of this. And, like, to the point where it's like, I'm almost a little concerned. Like, there's a lot of people queued up for this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we took pictures and video of this stuff, and, like, they're going to let down those ropes and it's just going to be chaos.
Yeah.
And, like, spilling into the IG booth and all the way through. So we're like, oh, man, this could get messy. Like, hold down the TVs. Like, what's going to happen, right? And so we were getting ready for that. And it actually, the enforcers kind of formed, like, a line to kind of push everyone through. So we didn't get as much spillover as we thought would happen. So they just kind of corralled everyone through and just kept kind of pushing them through.
I remember, yeah, because they couldn't, like, you can't just, so if you're at the front of that line, you can't just stop and look at a game, right? Because
right.
You got all the people.
Yeah.
So.
It was kind of crazy, because, yeah, it was like, except, yeah, just open the line, it's like,
ah! Yeah. Sometimes they do, like, the beach ball thing while they're waiting, they're just
doing that.
Classic packs.
Yeah.
Super
great turnout, though. Like, the booth was packed the whole time, and just everyone, just a constant flow of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only, like, issue we could have had was, for some reason, like, there was that store next to us. There was, like, a Valve store and some other store. They, like, stuck out further into the aisle than we did. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you couldn't quite, like, we were kind of tucked into, like, a little alcove almost. Yeah. And I was a little worried when I first saw that, oh, maybe we'll get, but it wasn't the time. Busy the whole time.
Yeah.
We had Video Ball there, Action Button Entertainment's Video Ball.
We did.
We had Capsule Force by CloudBit Games. Cat was there from CloudBit. Tim Rogers was there of Action Button Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we had Gunsport of Necrosoft Games.
Yep.
And Brandon had a friend of his help demo that. And a couple of volunteers who were awesome.
Yep.
We had KI and Divekick there.
Yep.
Divekick always a PAX favorite. You know.
It was.
Kind of, like, not super important to show it from a, like, strategic sense at all, but
yeah.
I think we learned our lesson at PAX South when people come coming up and asking, oh, where's Divekick? I just want to play it. It's like, okay, fair enough.
A lot of people walked up and were, like, just happy Divekick was there.
Yeah, I played some Divekick Saturday, actually. I got fast forward a little bit before, I'll never remember this otherwise. Canadian Bacon walked up to me. I didn't know who he was at first. He's like, hey, I want to money match you at Divekick. I'm the guy from Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. He's like, how much do you got on you? Look at my pockets. I only have $11. He goes, fine, I'll money match you for $11. So, I've not played Divekick in a really long time. I probably haven't played Divekick in, like, since it launched on PS4 and Xbox
One. Oh, wow.
So, this is, like, August, right?
Yeah.
So, super rusty or whatever. Well, this is going to get my butt kicked. And I end up crushing this kid.
Yeah.
Just annihilating him, right? Okay, that's fine. I get my $11. Then Jabali money matched him after Jabali beat him too. There's no greater dignity than losing a dive kick than Jabali. And afterward, Jabali's like, do you know who that guy was? I'm like, no, I don't. Who was he? Somebody's like, yeah, that's Canadian Bacon. Last year, he won the 128 person dive kick tournament here.
Nice.
And he's going to enter again tonight. I'm like, maybe I should play dive kick less often. Like, when I don't play it all the time, I'm actually better at it. Like,
that's
what are the
funny.
Odds? It turns out he entered the dive kick tournament that night, and I think he won it again this year.
Oh, really?
After getting bodied by Iron Galaxy.
Wow.
So that's funny. Anyway, back to Friday.
You taught him some new tech.
Just patience, baby. It's that slow game.
Hey.
My dive, just patient dive. So Friday, we met up, right?
Yeah, so Friday you flew in. Yeah, so we had a lot of people were stopping by the booth, wanting to know where the Lang Zone was, right?
Classic.
And Lang Zone's still in San Francisco. You gotta wait.
There's a lot of things. I would much rather have people come to me and say, fuck you, Dave Lang, or screw you, Dave Lang, or, like, you know, that bit than the Lang Zone bit. I'd much rather do that.
I mean, you expect people to walk up to me and be like, where's fuck you, Dave Lang?
I don't know. I just something about the Lang Zone still bugs me to this day. I don't know what it is. But right. Anywho.
Sure.
Now that I've laid that bare, I'm sure no one will take advantage of that going forward. I get off the plane, and the Giant Bomb panel was that night. It was at 9 o'clock, right? And we had to meet up. We had to meet up before because I needed a big, fat stack of cash from you.
That's right.
So, I'm not even sure how to explain this to people. So for those who don't know, we're kind of friendly with the Giant Bomb guys. Giant Bomb, sure, like I said, all the time. Everyone, if you're here, you probably know what Giant Bomb is, but just in case you don't, they run a video game website that's super popular. It's kind of personality-driven instead of, like, you know, reviews or previews-driven or whatever. They do a lot of video content, and they always do a live show from PAX every year. And they have some people who, I guess, are, like, you know, friends of Giant Bomb or whatever. And one of them is John Drake from now Sony Computer Entertainment America. He's, I believe, the director of portfolio general strategy. He usually figures out something to contribute to the panel at every show, right? And he ropes in people as needed. Like, last, like, at PAX Prime, we end up doing this stupid, like, Russian takeover, Game Bomb RU takeover on the panel. And he had the idea for this one where we were going to do, like, well, actually, through much rigmarole, and it was Eric Pope of Harmonix, Pat Baer of Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York, and John, they eventually decided this idea to do a game show centered around the fact that they want to, like, teach Dan Reichert of Giant Bomb how to be an adult, how to make decisions like a grown-ass man.
Right.
Because, like, you follow him on Twitter, it's pretty obvious, you know, maybe that's not a priority in his life. And so the way we're going to do this is basically through bribery, in essence, right? So Drakehead's like, I'm going to get a money booth. We'll ask him all these questions, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, well, I can bring some money.
Right.
That's what I can contribute to this. Right. Like, I can bring, like,
here's my hand.
Because I know he's like, he's a freaking reporter, so I know I have to get it all back at the end of the day anyway.
Right.
I'm going to get every dime back. It's amazing, right? So, okay, Drake, tell you what. You find a money booth in Boston somehow.
Right. Right.
I'll bring the money. It'll be fine. $1,000 in singles, I'll bring that. So,
right.
But then I didn't really think far enough ahead because, like, rewind a couple shows. So I was on the road for like 2 weeks straight prior to PAX, and I started by going to Canada.
Right.
And so I did not want to bring $1,000 in singles in my backpack across the border.
Right.
Because like, there's that rule, you know, you can't bring $10,000 more in cash. They would just x-ray it. It wouldn't be an actual problem, but there's no way they don't fucking count that stack of money.
Right.
Right. Because, like, oh, I bet some of these are hundreds or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, I'm not dealing with this. So I come to you in camp and I say, guys, need a favor.
Yep. Yep, you did.
Need to mule this money across the country for me.
Yeah.
What did that cop say? What did the...
Well, yeah, so I'm like, no dice. Like, no. I'm not trafficking this money for you. Like, this is going to go bad. I don't need this, right?
So the stack of money was not as big as I would have guessed, like $1,000, but it wasn't, like, trivial either, right?
Yeah.
And so, I remember... Was it camping? Like, one of you guys had it in a backpack or something when you brought it into the show.
Well, so, yeah. The funny thing is you went to the bank, right, and said, I need, what was it, $1,000 in singles.
$1,000 in singles.
Right. So and what did they do? They just wrapped it up in a bunch of rubber bands and just handed it to you, right?
So, yeah, so that, yeah, I guess in the safe, so, like, I called ahead because, like, sometimes when I go to the bank or whatever, it's, like, things I just assume they have, they don't.
Yeah.
So I call the bank and, like, hey, I need $1,000 in singles. How much prep time do you need for that?
Right.
We've got $1,000 in singles, dude. Just go to the bank. I'm like, okay, fine. Go there, and sure enough, it's just like they had, the money was already banded in $100 stacks, or $100 stacks, right?
Right.
So it's 10 $100 stacks. And then they just took a bunch of rubber bands and rubber band those together and compressed it down a bit, and they just handed it to me.
Right.
I'm like, dude, out there in Chicago.
Right.
I'm not like walking around with like, you know, this stack of money. They're like, oh, I'll just give you a bag.
Right.
But give me a bag, it's clear.
Yeah, it's a clear plastic bag.
It's a clear plastic bag. So I stuff it in there, and I stuff it, like, in my coat under my arm.
Right.
So, like, I walk around like I got a freaking hunchback or something. And run to my car. But, yeah, so I just left it in that bag. I should have, like, why I didn't learn from that and put it in another bag that was maybe more, you know, not as transparent. Could have learned, but...
Yep.
So, but, you know...
Yeah, so you brought it back to the office, and you basically told... You're talking to me in cabin, giving us the ropes. You're like, by the way, I need you guys to smuggle this in for me.
Smuggle's not the right word.
Bring it.
Carry gently, yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Did you end up put it on the truck, or did you bring it yourself?
No, Campin brought it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Campin brought it.
Good man, that Campin.
Yeah. I wanted no part of that. I'm like, I don't need the extra TSA love. I think I'm okay.
And then I remember, I don't know if it was Friday or when it was, but someone, like, had it in the bag. And the cops check the bags.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, so when you're walking into PAX, you got to do a bag check, right? So the first thing you do, you open up your backpack, and they get a look at everything. And the guy was looking at me, he's like, you know you got cash in there, right? He's like, you know you got a lot of cash in there, right? And I forgot, because for whatever reason, I was just like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. And then he looked at me again, he's like, I meant to say you had a lot of cash in there, right? I'm like, yeah, funny, okay, yeah, just walk away now. Thank you.
That could have ended in tragedy,
by the way. Right.
Yeah. So was that Friday morning, or was that...
No, that was Saturday morning.
Saturday morning?
Right, because you It was the money after.
Oh, it's when I had some of the cash left over. Okay,
you
didn't
want to take your backpack bag. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we do the, we go to the panel. Basically, we get to shove Dan Reichert in a money booth with $1,000. He's fiendishly grabbing for it all. Oh, the money booth itself. So this money booth is freaking amazing. So Drake found a carny in Boston, and he brought a pickup truck with a money machine on it. And the money machine looked like it was straight out of the 70s.
Yeah.
Right? It had like some big font on the front, money booth or whatever.
Right.
He helps Drake bring the booth up to the show, the room, and gets it set up, and is like generally pretty like agreeable guy. Like seems like, okay, this is like, for a carny, you seem okay.
Sure.
We do the show, goes off without a hitch, the money booth works great. Bit went a little long, but you know, as bits tend to do.
Sure.
And when it's done, we kind of just like scrounge up all the money. Because at this point, the money's like not in the booth either. It's all like, we open up the door, it's all over the floor, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I'm going to lose a little here. Like, hopefully I get like $980 back.
Right.
You know, just like something's going to happen. Someone put a buck in their pocket or whatever. Not a big deal, but whatever. And so get all the money, we just shove it into a white, big, like basically essentially like a big garbage bag. Right. Because now that it's not banded up and it's all loose, it actually takes a lot more space.
Right.
And get all the money back from Riker, because he's a journalist, he can't keep it, sucker. And then see, like, okay, let's just bounce. You know, our part here is done, right? Turns out that was a huge dick move.
Well, no. So here, so back up two things. So one thing, I'm going to steal this from Campin, right? So apparently, I didn't know about this, and he didn't tell me about this till afterwards, but apparently you had an aside with Jeff during the panel. You got wind that this whole money booth thing might backfire.
So that was actually before the panel. So one of the the only people that knew about the panel, the Giant Bomb crew, were the camera guys, so Jason and Henry.
Right.
And Drake told them just because they wanted to basically make sure they could get the right shots of it or whatever.
Right.
And then one of them, I think it was maybe Drew, was like, hey, just so you know, Dan, he might not be comfortable getting into that booth. Just, you know, he's got some hang-ups. That's one of them. Like, might not want to get in there.
Right.
And it's like, luckily, like, that didn't happen. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so apparently, I guess, you dropped this on Jeff, and you were like, hey, by the way, if this doesn't happen, we need someone to tag in there.
You're my ringer.
I'm going to tag you in.
You're my ringer.
And you got to go in there and get the money.
Yeah.
Right?
I knew he's going to give it back to me.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. But the problem is it totally ruined his night. Because the whole time, he's, like, worried about, like, oh my gosh, like, is this gonna end? Like, am I gonna be in there? So, like, he's like researching, like, the entire time, like, how to get money, like, how to maximize getting money up the money booth.
So, right, got his phone?
Because, like, you just dropped it on him right before. You're like, hey, like, right as the panel's about to start, by the way, gotta do this for me because this doesn't go through. Like, wait, what? You're like, and the panel started. And
yeah, that is
just like,
I didn't really think about that at the time. I guess that was kind of a weird thing. It's like, I kind of walk up and I'm like, hey, you said, oh, there's a chance Dan might not be comfortable getting in the booth.
Right.
If that's the case, I'm not putting some rando in there with my loot. Right. Hey, you got to go in there. I'm calling you in. You're like, oh, okay. Well, that's it. That's it, done.
Right. Wow. So the whole time, he's freaking out, right? Trying to be like, all right, how am I going to do this and not look like a jerk, right? Doing it, right? So he's like, researching of, like, the best ways to, like, get money in the money booth. And totally, like, missing the rest of the panel this whole entire time. So luckily, you know, Dan was, like, super excited and got in the booth and it all worked out.
Yeah,
like,
not only did he not have an issue with it.
He was like, weighed off of Jeff's shoulders.
Something he's always wanted to do.
Right.
Which is awesome. Just classic.
Yeah.
So we get done with there. And like I said, we bounce and we over the Westin. Like, oh, let's go get some drinks and some food at the Westin.
Yeah, so real quick. So you had to actually, at the end of the panel, if people didn't see it, but there was a whole bit thing that you had to take off, right? And there is still money all over the floor on this thing. So now we're sitting there. And it's like me and Jeff are looking at it, and Craig was there too. We just see the money everywhere. We're like, okay. Because the panel's about to go, and everyone's about to get up and move. We're like, we need to jump on this money, right?
Yeah. It's
like,
we had the Paxomania set up. We had to do
it. Yeah. It's just like all of, like, the Giant Bomb fans were going to be like coming up real quick.
Rush the stage.
Talk to the Giant Bomb guys and stuff. We're like, all right, we need to get this money because someone, you know, there's going to be some money missing, right? At the end of this. So, yeah, so like, Jeff and I and Craig, we just like jump on it.
It seemed like a lot of people were helping with that. That worked out for you.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Drake, just like, and Andy.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So we get that, we bounce, and then what I didn't know until much later is how bad Drake got screwed that night. Did you hear about any of this?
No.
So the guy with the money booth, the carny guy, was supposed to show up like a couple minutes before the end of the panel and basically get his money booth. right? Yeah. And so the show's over. Drake doesn't see him. 15 minutes go past. He's still not there.
Huh.
Drake's texting him. The guy's not answering.
Oh.
Right. And so Drake ended up having to... He didn't want to leave it in... Because they were shutting that room down.
Right.
Right. And so he's like, fuck, I got to get this loading dock by myself now. And so he... I don't know if he got... I think he did it by himself. I don't think he had any help because everyone abandoned him.
Right.
Like, oh, well, this part's done. This money booth probably will take care of itself.
Right.
We all went to the West End. So Drake had to somehow get that fucking money booth down the loading dock by himself, which is like, you know, I assume there's that freight elevator somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Right. But you imagine, like, so sorry about that, John Drake. If I was thinking clearly, I would have waited, made sure you had that all
in
control.
So did he just leave it at the dock?
He just left it at the dock.
And he's like, not my problem.
Yeah.
Now.
And I guess eventually he got a hold of the guy and it got all sorted out.
Gotcha.
But like, Drake's like, I don't know. What do you want to get? This is, I've done what I can do here. You know, it's like, this guy doesn't want his money booth. That's
right.
All I can do.
Right.
So then we go to the Westin, we got met up, we were just doing some drinks there.
Yeah.
Met up with Alex Rubens.
We did.
Of Multiplayer Dash fame.
Yeah.
Who basically curates this channel and lets us do the show. So thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
I've known Alex not super well for a long time, but I guess well enough for a long time. I'd say we're pals.
Yeah.
Maybe this show we crossed into friend territory,
wow.
I'm going to say.
Look at that.
But you got to meet him for the first time.
I did.
So that was kind of cool. We just basically hung out there for an hour and a half. They did last call like 1:15. You guys left right before that.
Yeah.
Me and Alex were both at the W, so we just hopped in an Uber. And this is mildly entertaining if you're a bad person like me.
Great.
So Alex has like all these like weird, like he uses Uber in a way I've never seen anyone use it before. And you must have to be like 20 years old to use Uber like this. It must be like a young person's thing. Because me, I'm just like, I'm an idiot. I hit Uber. And if it's like, oh, it'll take 15 minutes to get there, then I'm like, oh, I guess I have to wait 15 minutes an hour.
Right.
And that's not what, I guess, like people that, you know, think about these things do. So like, we think, oh, I bet that right there in the parking lot in front of us, I bet that's an Uber. I bet we get that one.
Yeah.
Calls the Uber. Instantly, a different one pops up on the screen. He instantly cancels it. It's like, fuck you, we're not doing that. Let's just get in a cab.
Okay.
So we get in a cab, we get there, and then he's like, pulls out his phone, like halfway through the cab ride. He's like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, what? He's like, the Uber didn't cancel.
Oh,
so he's just sitting at the Westin. And it turns out he had to pay some money to fix that problem at the end of the day. Shout out to Alex Rubens and being bad at Uber.
That traffic was horrible.
Boston traffic is ass. It's what? Not just the snow either. Like I've been there, I've done that ride from the W to the convention center, like 3-4 years in a row now. It's ass no matter what the weather's
is
like.
It, well, is
and
it,
when you put in that snow into it, it's like atomic ass. It's
is
horrible.
It just because of the it has to be because of the convention. It has to be because of the.
Well, sure, but
that,
Jesus
right?
Christ! Like, how do you build that convention center on that road?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing that was the worst about it is we were leaving the convention center to head up to the hotel to meet you to do dinner before.
It's Friday.
Before the panel.
Friday dinner.
This is Friday dinner, and we did the same exact thing where we called an Uber to get us to the hotel, and
because we were kind of time crunched, so we had to get food, we had to get the money,
right?
We had to get back to the
And so we called an Uber. We were waiting, and it just like you know, you're seeing the spot, and it just wasn't moving at all. And we're just like, this is ridiculous. Like, let's just walk. Like we could go faster walking. It was no joke. It was actually sad. There was an ambulance. Going down that road,
yeah,
we were walking faster than the ambulance was getting through that traffic.
Geez.
Like
brutal.
We made better time than the ambulance did by walking.
Yikes!
It was sad.
Yeah, that's not good.
No,
I'm willing to go on record to say that's not good.
No.
So yeah, Boston, your traffic sucks. Get your shit together. In summary, I think Boston. So, oh boy, it's hard to say things like this because people have such civic pride. I'm going on record. I don't like Boston. Like, I think the people are fine. I love people of Boston. Everyone I met was super nice. As, like, a livable city or a place I would want to live, never in a million years would I want to live there.
Huh, okay.
It's got, like, all the problems of a big city, but none of the advantages, it seems like.
Gotcha.
Like, all the roads suck. It's all these little two-lane cobblestone paths. There's too many people there. It's quaint.
Yeah.
It's a nice place to visit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to deal with that shit every day.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Sure.
No way.
Sure.
Boston, if you live in Boston, you have my sympathies. You're probably a braver and staunchier person than I.
It was pretty awesome. So they actually, because they got hit with a lot of snow.
It was at first I was kind of like, you know, like, oh, how bad could it be?
Right.
And you get there and you see it. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, there were like 4-foot snow drifts, right, off to the side. And One of the things, I wish we took a picture of it. We were in such a hurry, though. Over on one of the snowdrifts on the side, there was a pole, and there was a bike up on the top of the snowdrift, locked to the pole. And it was like head height.
Right.
Of you. And it was just like, it was the greatest. It was the greatest thing to see.
So that's Friday. About the worst thing that happened to me that day was I got back to the W, got my customary end of night beer, and realized I don't have a bottle opener. Then I scrambled around the hotel room trying like every edge of a desk and thing I could find, and I just couldn't get a bottle open. Took it as an act of like a sign from God saying, listen, you've been drinking for 12 straight days. Just maybe shut it down.
Pump the brakes a bit.
End up like taking the high road there and just going to bed. Woke up Saturday, met you at the show. Started with the KI panel, the Killer Instinct panel.
Yep.
Showed off Sacco and Shadow stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was griefing you before the panel. Remember that?
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, I remember that now. Oh, what a jerk.
So, for those who don't know, Killer Instinct is an Xbox One game. And Xbox One dev kits, you basically need to be online once before you can use them. Because otherwise they think they're a retailing kit, right? Essentially.
To keep them in dev kit mode.
Yeah, to keep them in dev kit mode. And so we get it all set up. We get it hooked up to the projector. And Daryl is like the one responsible for getting this thing working, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he went up to the, like, the panel was at 12:30. And you went up like 11:45 to get started, right?
As soon as they let us in.
And I roll in at like 12:20.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm like, I have no responsibilities here whatsoever.
Right.
And I see you still sweating. Like, over the dev kit.
There was technical difficulties with them getting the computer hooked up, so they're spending a lot of time with that, and I only had the one output, so I'm just like, oh, what time? At the end of the day, you know, we gotta make sure the slides show up, right? So I had 5 minutes to get the kit set up at the end there.
And meanwhile, like, the queuing room is, like, filling with people.
Yeah.
It's like, you can just feel the people outside wanting to come in and see it. It was, like, a super well-attended panel. And I go up to Daryl, I'm like, hey, Daryl, don't worry about it. You've got at least like 3 minutes left to fix all these problems. He looks at me, gives me the fucking death stare of death stares. I break out in laughter. Did not help.
Of course, yeah.
And then kind of kept that bit going for that couple minutes until you actually solved all the problems in the record time.
Yep.
Panel seemed to go off okay. People seemed to like it.
Great. That went really good.
Then anything else happened that day at all after the panel?
No.
I had really bad, like, food at the convention center. I had cheese sticks.
For convention center food, the cheese sticks were
the
really
cheese sticks
good.
Were the best thing I had. I had, like, a ham sandwich and cheese sticks, and the cheese sticks were, like, I went back Sunday to get them again, and they were out. I was actually mad about it.
But yeah.
I'm not going to say they were good. They were good enough.
For convention center food, they were great.
Yeah. So this is a pro tip. Next time you're at the Boston Convention Center, get the cheese sticks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a, do yourself a favor, set yourself up with the cheese sticks, the mott sticks. So then we did kind of a nice team dinner that night, and I quote-unquote nice. Went to a steakhouse where you were ultimately rebuffed with the greatest of all tragedies. Why don't you set the table for people, Daryl?
That dinner. Oh, I had to bring this up, didn't you?
Had to.
Man, oh man.
People need to know.
Yeah, so we were all kind of celebrating for the great day. The panel went great. We had a bunch of really good foot traffic and some other stuff behind the scenes. It was really awesome.
We had some like pro players come by the booth and check out the new stuff we're doing, and they all dug it in a big way.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So we're all kind of celebrating. We're you know, going off to this nice dinner and getting it. And we were sitting kind of in the back of the restaurant where we could see the kitchen. Now, I was sitting and positioning myself where I could see right into the kitchen. And we were there for a while.
It was a long meal.
It was quite the meal. And every now and then I keep getting glances of food coming out of the kitchen. And I keep seeing this huge piece of chocolate cake.
How big was it?
It was huge. It was the biggest slice of chocolate cake I've ever seen before.
Okay. And I would say, just to quantify this for a little bit, it was probably the size of like an ironing, like an iron you would iron clothes with. I think it's about right. Like, it was massive.
Yeah, but it was tall.
Yeah.
It was super, super tall.
Yeah.
So I saw that, and I'm like, that cake will be mine. I need this cake tonight. whatever is going to take. Yeah. I need this.
No matter what else goes in my belly tonight,
right?
It's going to be the.
I'm so excited. I'm like,
you, yeah, you're talking about ahead of time where like there's no way you can eat that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like you've never seen Daryl lead. Daryl can put that kick away. The question is, could he do two?
Right.
We're placing bets on it.
Yes. Every time I see the cake, I'm making everyone look at the cake. I'm like, look at this fabulous cake. Like, this is amazing. And the thing is I'm not like a huge chocolate cake guy. I mean, I do appreciate a chocolate, but this cake.
All, despite all evidence to the contrary.
This cake. This. Yeah. I needed this cake.
It was calling your name.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No matter what. So we're at a steak place. So I'm vegetarian, right? It's been noted. And I'm not a picky eater. Like when we go out, I always hate being that guy who's like everyone's trying to be like, oh, we gotta figure out something. Like, don't worry about me. But there'll be something there I can eat. I'll worry about me. You guys just wherever you want to go.
You guys murder yourselves with meat. Right. I'm gonna
There'll be something. Don't worry about me.
You are very agreeable eater. I'll give you this.
So we get there, and usually at like a steak place, there's always like a salad or something I could get, or maybe some sort of a pasta dish or whatever. Our waiter, I forget our waiter's name, but he was a very nice individual, and basically said that they have a vegetarian option of a cauliflower steak. That's what they were going to give me. And I'm like, oh, that sounds delicious.
That sounds like the worst fucking thing I've ever heard.
It wasn't great. So I'm like, sure. I'm like, at this point, I've seen this cake so many times. I'm like, you can bring whatever you want over here, buddy, because guess what?
It's getting washed down with the cake.
I'm leaving room for that cake because that cake's going to happen. And no one else is going to eat any of that cake. It's all me, right? So I get the cauliflower steak, and it's literally just a head of cauliflower delivered to me. And I was like, okay, I guess there's
It wasn't prepared or anything?
It was like, they like slept on the grill for like a second. And I was just like, yeah, put some lines on it. Here's some raw cauliflower for you. I'm like, okay, great, super. I'm like, no worries, though.
Yeah.
Because guess what's going here?
Normally, this might be a little disappointing.
Right.
But guess what? Not today. Right. Nothing could bring me down.
Right. I'm like, it's cool, man. We're having great. We're drinking wine. Having a great time. Just waiting for the cake. And like, all right, so everyone's finally done eating. You guys enjoyed your steak and all your everything. Like, dessert time.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Go around the table.
Yep.
I get my double espresso.
Yep.
This Jabali got a creme brulee or whatever it was.
Yep.
Get to Daryl.
The cake.
The cake.
Oh, the cake.
Oh, okay. That writes it down. Writes it down.
Yep. All right.
No problem.
Boom.
Everyone's going to get some delicious dessert. It's going to be good.
So good. So good.
Comes back a few minutes later.
All of a sudden, I feel a tap on my shoulder. What is this? What can I do for you? Fine, sir. I'm very sorry, sir. We no longer have the cake.
Like, he knew you were one for
right.
Like, the production you put out when you ordered it,
right.
he knew this was going to be real bad for his tip. Like, he knew it.
I'm like, ah, ha, ha, funny, funny. No, he's like, no, sir. We no longer have the cake.
Then on the tray, you can see a piece.
I'm just like.
It's like the demo piece they wheel out to people.
I'm like, you've got to be. He's like,
yeah.
So we have, might I suggest, we have a smaller cake for you. Maybe it's a carrot cake. And I'm like, no. Get that out of my face. Chocolate cake or nothing.
Yeah. Big chocolate cake or nothing.
Furious.
You were very angry.
I was furious.
I don't think I've ever seen you that angry.
I was just so mad.
Like, it was a level of disappointment I'm not accustomed to seeing from you.
I was devastated.
Yeah, I felt pretty bad actually laughing at it.
I was so mad.
It was bleak.
I was so excited for that cake.
And this is what you get, right?
It's the worst.
So everyone is enjoying their dessert, and you're just angry.
You're just eating
your rage.
And I'm just hungry, because I was saving room for that cake, and that was the worst.
Just getting angry, and staying angry. And my espresso was rock solid. I'm going to say
that's
good.
That's good.
So, did you even try anyone else's stuff? It's like, the table had a great...
No, I didn't.
Got your principles.
Yes.
I respect that.
No.
Got to respect it.
Cake or nothing.
Yes, that sucked for you. Then you went to bed, tired and no cake.
Yeah, and to pack it up then, get ready for another day of packs.
Me and Craig actually walked over to a party at that point. And when we got there, it was kind of weird. The party, so at one point it was like open bar. And we got there right as it transitioned from open bar to cash bar. So we're at the party, a bunch of indie devs there hanging out. And it starts to thin out though. It turns into like a smaller, more condensed crowd. And I met a bunch of people I didn't know at all, which is really cool.
Oh, it's good.
And I was sitting across the table from this one guy who knew everybody but me, and I didn't know anyone at the table, basically, essentially. So I'm meeting everyone, hanging out, and I'm like, just, hey, what game are you working on? And this guy's telling me about his game. And I had enough in me at this point where I'm starting to, you know, do my shtick.
Right.
You know? And it's just like classic, like, kind of like person who's creative but not fully confident in what they're making and just unable to talk about the classic kind of situation where every nice thing he would say about his game, he would say three bad things.
Sure.
You know, just couldn't, like, talk. I'm like, dude, listen to you talk. Like, what are you, like, are you putting this out yourself? Are you looking for a publisher? He's like, oh, I'm looking for a publisher.
Yeah.
Like, have you had any meetings yet? It's like, no, I'm hoping to get some this weekend. I'm like, we're fixing this now. I'm going to teach you how to pitch.
Nice.
And so I'm like, tell me about your game again. Da-da-da. He's going, I'm like, nope, you just fucked up. You said something bad. He's like, no, but that's how I feel about it. I'm like, dude, like, you're thinking about this the wrong way. And so kind of like going back and forth with him. And after like it must have been like 20 minutes. I'm sure everyone around us at this point is just like, shut up.
Right.
Shut up, old man. I'm like, no, I'm fixing this guy. I'm going to teach him how to pitch. And at the very end of it, I finally got through to him. I go, listen, when your game comes out, there's going to be a million motherfuckers out there talking shit about it, saying bad things. You don't have to be one of them. Whatever you think is good about your game, just talk about that.
Right.
There's parts you don't think are good, don't even bring them up.
Right.
Like, why did you want to make this game in the first place? He goes on. I'm like, talk about that. That was awesome. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, start over. Give me your pitch now. And so he does it. Sure enough, it was, like, really good.
Nice.
At the end of it. I'm like, okay, do that again tomorrow when you're in business. You'll walk away with a deal. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Like, guarantee, not actually a guarantee. So that was cool. Then shut that place down. Oh, this was the worst. So, yeah, I forgot the worst part of that whole night.
Huh.
So that bar shut down at 2.
Okay.
It was daylight savings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, my plan, I had to get up hella early. I had to be at the show allegedly at, like, 9 to get ready for PAX Mania. And so I'm looking at my clock, and I'm like, okay, I want to go to bed around midnight tonight so I get a good solid 8, so tomorrow I'm rock solid. You know, then fast forward, it's like I'm hammered at 1:59 at the bar.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'll get an Uber. I'll be in my room 2:20.
Nope.
I'll do this. Da 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 da. 1:59 ticks to 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Like, what have I done? Like, this is like not going to be good. So yeah, that completely torpedoed what plans I had left for the evening.
Yeah.
Hurry up! Like, got the cab. Hurry up! Went back to bed and got my 4 hours of sleep and took it like a man. So. So Daryl, that's an episode.
It is.
Yeah, coming up on an hour here, easing into about an hour. This is going to end up being a 2-parter PAX or a 4-parter travelogue, depending on how you
see how
account for these things.
Yeah.
So Daryl, for Team Grabbing Fat Babies, Grabbing Fat Babies
always.
Radio.
Always.
My name is Dave Lang.
I'm Daryl Lister.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bus is not moving. I'm behind this bus. Okay, this bus is moving again. God, PAX East. Like, that just seems like a fucking lifetime ago. Like, it's weird listening to them talk about PAX East because, like, I was there for that whole show. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. What? When was that? Yeah. Thank you. What's today? Today's Tuesday. God, it's only Tuesday. All right. Well, it's actually a good thing, I guess. I gotta... I got about a billion things I gotta try to get done today. Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking about PAX East, and yeah, that feels like ancient fucking history now. Like, listening to him talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, PAX East, that was a good time last year. It's like, oh wait, that was like fucking earlier this month or something, wasn't it? Weird. Time is weird. Fuck time.
The YouTube EDM 15. Sirius XM BPM.
What's up, everybody? Alex Drew back here on YouTube EDM 15. For those who don't know, we are both in our hotel room right now, both in our mutual beds lined up next to each other, both with no clothes on.
Yeah, I'm definitely naked right now.
The recording device.
When he found his song, yeah.
Stairs 45.
Drop an old school beat.
JG, bitch, I got 8 balls.
King Young Gunner. Hotter than a sauna in the summer.
All right. Well, I'm here. I'm going to get in here and do some Tuesday business. So, yeah, have a good day with stuff, and yeah, it's Tuesday today. PlayStation Home stuff. See ya.